Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business, and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And welcome everyone, welcome. Well, today's the third Monday of the month where we explore business and career issues. But before we dive into the show today, I want to take a moment to acknowledge Sarah J. Lee, who was scheduled to join us today. Unfortunately, she was rushed into hospital over the weekend and remains very, very seriously ill. So I wanted to send best wishes to her family and warm thoughts to Sarah for speedy recovery, and we'll invite her back as soon as she's fit and well enough. But our other two guests are still scheduled to join us today. Coming later in the show, we're joined by Dream Coach Joyce Chapman, who will answer your questions about a number of issues that have been getting in the way of you of reaching your dream. First, I want to say, in my role as a business and communications consultant, I work with a lot of businesses. And one of the most common mistakes I see people making is in creating their value proposition. Doesn't matter if you're a one-man shop, if you've got 100 employees, 40,000 employees, or even if you are an employee. I have several friends who've had to re-interview for their own job, a job they might have had for 10 years. Value proposition is very important for everyone, and that's what we're going to look at today. Some people call it unique selling proposition. I liked the way that Kevin Dahm defines that in his book, and his book is called Raw, Get Heard in the Sales and Marketing Jungle. And we sat down together last week because of scheduling issues so that I could gain insights into what makes a good value proposition. We're often told to write down our goals and carry them with us. Do you do that, Eric? He's nodding his head there. Do you do that?
No, I don't. Okay. But maybe I should.
Well, I want to share with you.
When you say carry them with you, do you mean carry the paper that has the goals them, on them, or just keep them in your mind?
Put them on a little post-it note or a little index card, and put it in your wallet and carry it with you. Studies have shown over and over again, there was a very well-known one from Harvard, there's a couple from Yale and Stanford. Studies have shown that people who write down their goals and carry them with them and look at them every day, there's a significant increase in how they reach their goals.
Oh, I'm sure there's got to be an app for that now, though.
Exactly. You can put it on your iPhone.
Yes.
But I want to tell you what Kevin Dahm did. This guy is so determined. That was not good enough for him. He literally had... This is true because I've seen the photograph, and unfortunately I don't have it with me, but you can probably see it on his website. He literally had his number one goal tattooed on his chest.
Wow.
And he had it tattooed backwards so that every morning when he was shaving in the mirror, he could read what his goal is. And it's there. I told him at the end of the interview, I think, I hope you can get a check mark by the side of that.
Right. You can go ahead and cross that out once you've accomplished it.
Yeah. So anyway, his book is called Raw, Get Heard in the Sales and Marketing Jungle. And as I said, we sat down last week to talk, and Eric's got that pre-recording here. It's the first time we've played it on Conversations Live. And let's listen to that now. Kevin Dahm. Kevin Dahm is an Inc. 500 entrepreneur and the founder of TAE International. He's a graduate of the MIT Entrepreneurial Executive Leadership Program and the national columnist for Smart Business Magazine. He's the author of several books, including Raw, Get Heard in the Sales and Marketing Jungle. Kevin Dahm, welcome to the show.
Hi, Vicki. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm pleased to have you. This was a very fun book, and I suspect in talking to you before the show and in reading the book that you had a lot of fun putting it together. Tell us a little bit about it, more about your background and what led to writing this book.
Sure. So I'm kind of an eclectic background. I have a background in theater and built an Inc. 500 company in the real estate finance space, and had written in that area, wrote Building Your Own Home for Dummies and a book called Green Sense for the Home. And I was actually communicating to doing marketing consulting for green companies, trying to explain to them they just couldn't say the same things to the same people in the same way. And as I was putting together a speech along those lines, trying to make it entertaining and give an aha moment, I was trying to find a concept that would actually make it memorable, and stumbled across some of the concepts in War, decided to put it in a parable book, and was actually sitting in a kind of a cozy cabin in Connecticut with a snowstorm around me as it just started flowing out of me. I actually wrote the first 9 chapters in 9 days. And
it's amazing.
And we just, you know, I looked to how I could make this not only important, but also make it fun, something that people would want to read.
And you're very determined to be successful as a New York Times bestseller. We often are told, write down your goals. You went a step further. Tell us what you did with your number one goal right now.
Well, we knew we had a great book on our hands. People were just responding to the story and the material. And when we did the book deal with Wiley in October, I decided that everything was really aligned for me to take a serious run at making this a New York Times bestseller, or as I like to call my goal, the Jewish Super Bowl ring. And so I went and I decided that I was going to put my full force, and somehow a post-it note on the mirror just didn't seem to work for me. So I actually went and tattooed New York Times bestseller backwards on my chest so I could see it in the mirror every morning as my goal. And let me tell you, that has gotten me every morning to do things way outside my comfort zone. It not only shows my commitment, but it actually forces my commitment.
Right, and that's absolutely true, because I'm looking at a shot of you right now, looking at yourself in the mirror with that tattoo. I think that's a great thing. So I want to talk today primarily around value proposition, because I know in my work as a consultant, I run into this all the time, that people really don't understand what a value proposition is. So I wonder if you'd start by giving us your definition of value proposition and why it's so important that businesses must have one.
Sure, absolutely. I think, those terms get thrown around a lot, unique selling proposition or value proposition. From my perspective, here's why having something that states clearly to your customer what you're about is so important. We've been through this great purification of business where it used to be that you had all these different companies and you could pretty much just kind of wipe the map with them because they didn't have that much going on. But now there's only a few companies left, but they're the companies that actually know what they're doing. They're the companies that can survive. So now what you really have to do is find a way to differentiate yourself from them. And here's how you do it. First, you have to establish empathy with your customer. I mean, I believe that marketing is all about convenience. And, we like to think that everybody's our customer, but they're really not. What we want to do is connect with those people who are predisposed to buy. And those are the people who are having some pain. So the very first component is to be able to identify the pain of the customer that you can actually solve their problem. Once you've done that, the second piece is to bring an objective solution. Now, a lot of people say, well, why don't you just go ahead and tell them what you do? And the answer is that people don't want to be sold. And once you've established that empathy, the worst thing that you can do while you've left them vulnerable is to just go ahead and start pounding them. So the way you want to structure it is say, look, I understand your pain, and they'll be all excited because, you actually do understand their pain. And then you can say, wouldn't it be great if there was a solution that solved that pain? And now they're 90% of the way there. The third part, then, is to clearly differentiate why you're the best solution provider. Because at the point that you've established that you understand them and that you've given them a solution that they buy into, they're 90% there. Now it's just a matter of explaining to them why you're different. And the big caveat here is not to use the typical stuff like, we have great customer service or we have tons of experience. Because in all my years in working with businesses, I've never actually seen a business that goes out and says, well, we give crappy customer service and we have no experience. You really have to find differentiators that are rare in the marketplace. And if you can put 2 or 3 of those together, chances are you'll really show up as being unique and be able to have a better chance of closing the deal. And the other side of that is that if you're sitting there and you're talking to the clients and they don't respond to the pain that you provide or the solution or your differentiation, well, chances are they never were your client to begin with, and so at least now you can go ahead and move on. And that's really what marketing is all about. It's about efficiency, not just getting leads.
Right. So let's look at differentiation. What do you say differentiates your company from companies that may be similar to yours, Kevin?
Well, when I go out with my value proposition, and I'll use it as an example with an elevator pitch, right? We all know that elevator pitch, you have to, you know, right. communicate what your company does from the bottom floor to the top floor. So somebody will come to me and they'll say, hey, Kevin, what do you do? And instead of just throwing stuff out there, I start with the pain, which is, you know when companies are trying to grow, but their marketing doesn't seem to be having impact, or they can't figure out if their dollars are making the most, or they haven't differentiated their sales from their marketing. Now, at that point, the companies who feel that way are responding to me. And I'll give them the solution, which is, wouldn't it be great if there was a methodology that actually taught you what to say and how to say it and who to say it to in an efficient manner? Now that they've bought in, I've got three differentiators. The first is, I'm an Inc. 500 entrepreneur who's a consultant. Now, I'm not the only one, but there aren't a lot of them, so that narrows the field. The second one is that I use theater in my theater background as a methodology for what I do. Now, right off the bat, somebody might say, well, but yeah, okay, but that's not necessarily, you know, something that says I should use you. No, but it might get you to look a little deeper. Maybe you can click on a hyperlink that's on the word theater on my website that says, you know, here's why theater people do it better, and you'll read my articles that talk about why in theater we never strive for mediocrity and we look at things from a 360-degree view on a moment-by-moment basis. And now all of a sudden, you know, you're either going to buy into that philosophy that it's great, or you're going to go away and you never would have been a good client for me anyway. Mm-hmm. And then the last piece that I use is, I'm a best-selling author and a national columnist. By the time I put those three things together, there's really no other consultant that can deliver the solution that I can deliver. And if you've bought into it, you know, you're definitely now my customer, predisposed to buy, and hopefully at a premium price. And if you haven't bought into it, then you know what? It's not, you know, it's not a situation where I had to waste my time. Because look, nothing is worse than you meet somebody at a party or a networking group, and you say hi, and they're very polite, and you tell them what you do, and then you chase them for 2 or 3 years, and they never buy.
Right.
See, that's the most painful thing in sales and marketing.
Right. Right. We've all had that happen to us as well on the receiving end. Somebody keep bugging you, and that can be just as annoying.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, this is about opting in, right? If I clearly go out there and do what I call a pull system of marketing rather than a push system of selling, I put my information out there, whether it's through social media, speaking, books, writing, and then ultimately what happens is those customers who believe what I believe or are looking for what it is that I provide, they will come to me, again, predisposed to buy and hopefully at a premium price. And that doesn't matter whether you're a single consultant or whether you're a big manufacturing company. You know, I work with $50 million, $100 million companies. It's up to them to use all the tools at their disposal to put out into the marketplace what it is that they do that's truly unique and what pain they're solving with that solution.
Right. Now, a lot of businesses send out surveys or have click-through surveys on their website. You know, tell us what you like, why you buy from us. But you say it's often more important to know why people don't buy from us. How do we reach those people that don't buy from us, whether it's a, you know, a one-man shop service offering or it's a multi-million dollar company? How do we reach those people who don't buy from us to find out why they don't buy from us?
Well, I think you have to focus on doing objective research, and this is what a lot of companies don't do. A lot of companies like to focus on what they do well, and they like to learn from their successes. Ironically, you know, in my experience, we learn far more from our failures than we do from our successes, and yet we spend so much time and energy trying to get everybody to do it right the first time. I think you have to create time, money, a budget, essentially, for successful failure so you can learn. So every time you don't succeed with a customer, that's a great opportunity. Go out of your comfort zone and find out why they're not buying from you. Spend some time, take one of the people in your company, if you have it available, or do it yourself, and call up some of those places and be objective. Don't call them with the purpose of selling. That's the hard part. Turn your sales hat off and go in and do an objective survey. And in the back of the book, I have created some survey questions that you can go in to do. When we work with a company, that's what we do. We spend 30 to 60 days just doing research where we go out, talk to people objectively. In fact, often in that process, when I manage the project, I won't even look at the data or look at the interviews or talk to my people about what they found out until we get further down the line and they get the whole thing together, because I like to keep that objective view.
Right.
And it's very hard to stay objective. But that's the whole purpose. And you can go out, you can talk to people just asking on an academic basis, and, you know, you gotta call, you know, probably 10 to get one on the phone, but a lot of times you can get it, or talk to friends and say, hey, I'd like to talk to people who are in this space. One of the best things is, especially if you're a local company, you can go into other regions, and you can just say right off the bat, look, I don't do business in your area, but I'd like to find out what's going on, and you can even talk to competitors that way, as long as they're not, they don't feel, you know, see you as competitors.
Right, right. You said earlier that marketing's role is to provide efficiency and effectiveness to the different kinds of buyers. So I wanted just to loop back to that and look, there are four types of buyers, the wise, the cynical, the simple, which is mostly me, I found out, the disinterested. One of the things that you say is, well, I want to look at some of the common traits of each one. First of all, if we could just scan through, if I'm putting marketing materials together, what do I need to know about each buyer to make sure my messaging is fluid?
Right. So this process, the understanding of these four buyers actually came from the Passover Seder, interestingly enough. The Jews who just had a Seder in the spring is where we teach the story of Exodus and have been for 3,500 years. And there's a passage that talks about teaching it to the wise, the wicked, the simple, and the unable to ask. So we converted that slightly and found out that all buyers fit into those four categories. The disinterested buyer, we'll start there, the one unable to ask, is basically the buyer that's out there that needs your product or service and just doesn't know you exist. So with that one, you're going to do all sorts of interesting things to get their attention. In my case, it's the quest for the Jewish Super Bowl ring, or you know, writing a really fascinating blog, or, you know, the tattoo. We just did a great viral video that we just put up. The whole idea is to get their attention and resonate with the pain that they're having. Once that happens, they'll turn into one of the other three, the wise, the simple, or the cynical. The wise buyer, they're looking for information. And the whole point of what you're bringing to the table is not necessarily all the right answers, but the ability to get the answers that they need. They don't trust themselves without the information. So, for example, on my website, to cater to the wise buyer, we have, you know, 50, 60 pages of material that they can look through. We have blogs. We have reviews. We have all sorts of information on my content site, tools that you can use so they can, and resources that they can get to. That's going to appeal to the wise buyer. To the cynical buyer, which is my favorite, by the way, the cynical buyer believes that they're going to be taken advantage of. And so they got taken advantage somewhere before. They think it's going to happen again. For them, you have to open the kimono a little bit. Show them the inside workings of what you're doing and self-sacrifice so that they feel like you're in it for them. Once you win over the cynical buyer, they will be the most loyal buyer in the world because they feel like if they go somewhere else, they're going to be taken advantage of again. So in our materials, what we do is we give away free tools. In the case of the book, you can download two free chapters on the site. In fact, in my videos, I go, hey, not convinced yet, try before you buy, mm-hmm. and we give you the opportunity to take that. And so that's a perfect example of how to win over the cynical buyer. And then the simple buyer really encompasses most everything else. Most of us are simple buyers for most things. You know, we go in to buy a can of soup, we don't think about it. We buy a can of soup. But if we, you know, let's say if we go to buy fish, let's say I want to go buy some salmon and they're out of salmon that day, then all of a sudden they've got to offer me something different. And if they offer me, you know, halibut, well, maybe I don't know about halibut, or maybe I had a bad fish the last time I was there. I could either be the wise or the cynical buyer. The key with a simple buyer is give them what they want, give it to them quickly, and if you can't give them what they want, offer them a compromise, and if they don't take it, be done. Don't waste your time. And so on our site, you know, you can get to everything within two clicks. If you want to buy the book, you can get to the book. If you want to buy, you know, if you want to download information, you can download information, but we're not going to waste a lot of your time trying to sell you on some long sales pitch to get you down, you know, to the very bottom.
Right.
A simple buyer will be very frustrated by that.
Right. Great advice, Kevin. The book is Raw, Get Heard in the Sales and Marketing Jungle, a Business Fable. Tell us where listeners can find out more about you and your work, Kevin.
Absolutely. So if they go to kevindaum.com, D-A-U-M is the last name, they can see videos, they can download two free chapters, and in the book, by the way, we put a special chapter and a webinar coupon just for the purposes of advancing your own self. So whether it's getting a promotion or convincing your husband of something, that material's in the book, but we only put it in the first print run, and those are already about half gone. on Barnes & Noble, Borders, you know, all the bookstores, independents, as well as Amazon, and it's been selling well. We were number one on Amazon in sales and marketing last week, and but you can get to it right through our website as well at kevindom.com.
Well, awesome, and I hope that next time we speak, Kevin, that you have a big check mark next to your tattoo on your chest that says New York Times bestseller.
Me too, Vicki, and I'll be happy to come back on and share that as well. I hope that your listeners can help make that a reality.
Thanks for being with us. And that was an interview that I recorded last week with Kevin Dom. You can find out more about Kevin. He's got some weird and wacky videos on his site at kevindom.com, D-A-U-M, kevindom.com. And I wanted to go, before we go into our next section, I'm often asked, is there a different approach to creative business than there is to regular business? And Eric Ryder is going to join me in this section here. Mm-hmm. And they're really...
And we work in a creative business.
Well, we do work in a creative business, yeah. And I think even accounting can be creative, as we've learned from some of the disasters.
Look at Wall Street.
We've encountered.
Pretty creative, yeah.
But I came across this article. I was looking for something to kind of summarize that. And I came across this article, and let me just find it, because I'm working off my computer today, and I've got the wrong thing up. It's on here somewhere.
Well, these are tips, really, for what folks do to succeed. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah. Murray Raphael is a marketer, business marketer. He's very successful in what he does. And he asked the question, what makes a successful business person? Mm-hmm. And he wrote this article for creative people, really. It was interesting because I read that the Russians have developed a concept, and I don't know if I can say this word. It's called anthropomaximology. But it's actually...
That is a mouthful.
It's a mouthful. I don't know what it is in Russian. But anthropomaximology is what it's called. And it's a concept where they look at performance and they look at successful people and decides what makes, some of the common traits or some of the common behaviors. And... Murray, who wrote this article, said that he realized that he himself was to blame. If business was good, he took credit for it because he was doing stuff right. If his business is bad, then he has only himself to blame because he's not doing what he needs to do. He hasn't made the adjustments with the economy and everything that need to happen. So we've got a couple of tips here. We've got six tips here that he came up with, Murray Raphael came up with, after he did his own anthropomaximology. And number one was that folks set higher goals. Successful people always set higher goals. They're mountain climbers who, having climbed one peak, look beyond it to the next highest peak. Number two, they avoid comfort zones. To a successful person, standing still feels like going backwards. I've been feeling a little bit like that myself lately.
We all do sometimes.
What numbers do you have?
Number three, they are driven by accomplishments, not money. And he says successful people follow the theory of Steve Jobs from Apple, who says the journey is the reward.
We've been told that by many of our guests, haven't we? People
Absolutely.
Who are really successful.
Yeah, yeah.
Sir Richard Branson, for one, always said he goes
Was
after...
Was he on the show?
No. Well, I did interview him a long time ago, but not on the show. But he's always said that, go after the project.
Uh-huh.
And
that's what he does. He definitely finds something that he's passionate about, and then it may seem unrelated to whatever he's doing at the time being, but he just makes a go of it because it's something that he's interested in. Number four would be they solve problems rather than place the blame. So,
okay,
that seems important.
It does rather, doesn't it? Number six, because I just flicked my page and I've gone out of order.
Well, we're doing this in a creative manner.
We're doing this in a very creative manner. I'm not very good this morning with my clicker here.
Or this afternoon.
My mouse clicker. This afternoon. I've even lost number six now. Can you believe it? Okay, number six. They rehearse the future as they see it. So we've been told that many times that people visualize all the time. And I notice myself that when I visualize, when I imagine myself in a situation, have you tried this? Because I know you play in your band. Mm-hmm. Do you visualize yourself being really successful?
I do, yeah.
When you're up there?
Yeah.
Mm. And I can think back, way back when I was a kid, and I was in the gym. I used to love gymnastics. Mm-hmm. And I was going to jump over off the trampoline over the top of the horse. And as I was running up to it, I thought, oh, I'm going to trip and fall. And guess what I did? I tripped and fell. And I've remembered that since that was about 8 when I did that. Mm-hmm. But I've always remembered that.
So, yeah, rehearsal. Practice makes perfect, as they say. And some of that practice can be, you know, just imagining how to do it.
Yeah, because the mind really cannot differentiate between a real or imagined situation. So, and then the last one is they look at the worst possible case scenarios. They look at them to say, if we follow this plan, we expect this result. Mm-hmm. They ask themselves, if we don't take this plan, what's our contingency plan? And they also look at what's the worst possible result if we follow this plan? And then they evaluate the risk in taking that. And that applies to any kind of business. Just 6 quick, easy tips there. Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, Eric's very impressed.
I think these are great tips, and I'm glad that we shared them with our listeners.
Yeah. When we come back, we'll be talking with Dream Coach Joyce Chapman, and she's going to answer some of the questions that you have sent in to us. So please do stay with us. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'll be right back.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, Sherry Winston shares why sex is really, really good for you and how you can rev up your relationship. Join us at noon Pacific every Monday on Alternative Talk 1150 for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Hi, I'm Andrea Kay, America's leading career expert. I know it's going to be a great conversation when Vicki St. Clair asked me to offer my career advice on her show. Vicki asks thoughtful questions, she's thorough, she works hard to bring you great guests who walk their talk with information and solutions that can lift your career and better your life so that you'll live well, live strong. My advice? Tune into our conversations and all the interviews on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair for thought-provoking insight and tips on the things that really matter in your life. And visit AndreaKay.com, that's Andrea, K-A-Y.com, for information about my books and loads of free practical advice and inspiration for your career.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate, making a difference, one word at a time.
Stay informed with news, traffic, and weather at the top of the hour, weekdays on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And my next guest is Dream Coach Joyce Chapman. You know, so many times we get caught up in making a living that we have no time to work on that dream life that we can imagine for ourselves. And oftentimes we shrug it off and say, well, you know, that's life, that's reality, life's tough. But what if your dream life was reality? What if you woke up every morning to live your greatest joy, to being your best, your boldest self? And what if you said yes to passion and purpose, to living your dreams? Well, that's Joyce's job. She helps people live their dreams. She's a dedicated lifelong educator and coach with a master's in counseling psychology. She's an intuitive coach, hearing not just what you say, but she'll hear what you don't say. And she presents workshops and speaks around the country. She's the author of numerous books, including Live Your Dream, Discover and Achieve Your Life Purpose, and the Live Your Dream workbook that goes along with that, Journaling for Joy, Celebrate Your Dream, and Notice Meditation book. Joyce Chapman, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me to be on your show and giving me this wonderful opportunity to do what I love doing. Dream Coach.
Yes, and it's a wonderful opportunity to get help some of our listeners get their questions answered. And but before we start off today, Joyce, I want to just ask you why you call yourself a dream coach. I know you fought very hard, you fought your publisher very hard to name your book Live Your Dream, and they didn't want to call it, they had an issue, I guess, with the dream word. It was very important to you to call it Live Your Dream and very important to call yourself a dream coach. So I wonder if you'd just talk a little about that.
Oh, I would love to. I love that I could remember that so vividly because so many people told me, you know, you can't tell people to be a dreamer. You know, that's flaky. And I would laugh and say, no, it's not. It's not at all. You know, okay, you can call it being a visionary. You can call it that you have a vision. But for me, the word dream was just absolutely the word that I wanted to use on to define myself and also to use on the title for the book. So that's, you know, a quick answer to that. And ask me some more.
Well, I think you've answered that. I think putting the word dream in context is important because, you know, there is a tendency for not everybody, but some people will buy right into the word dream and others will go, well, you know, it's just not realistic to be a dreamer. But if you talk, and we've talked to many, many, many very successful visionaries, you know, throughout the radio show and through other work that I do. And every single one of them has said to me, you have to dream and you have to dream big. Don't bother with small dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was an important thing to put into context there.
Thank you.
Yeah, we've got some listener questions for you today, Joyce, and I want to start off with somebody who wants to remain anonymous. Let me just grab this. I'm messing myself up today because I'm working off my computer. All right. Anyone would think I was illiterate on the computer, and I'm really not. I work on it constantly. All right. So her question is this. She sets it up. She says, Joyce, I'm an author, speaker, and radio show host. I guess if you have the time to answer me, I'd like to know what I can do to take my work to the next level. I've already taken my passion and belief in the importance of the sacred feminine to sustain ourselves and our world to the point where I am. But how can I kick that up a notch and actually parlay this passion into and love, her love, into making money to help me ensure a secure retirement? Right now, I've been doing most things for free because a lot of our audiences don't have a lot of discretionary income. And I do believe what I do is a service to the community. How can I have it also serve me? Not just feed my soul and heart and mind, but feed my security. That is a really great question. So I'm going to throw it over to you, Joyce. Where do you want to begin with that?
Well, I'd like to begin with, I could really relate to this question from my own personal experiences. And Vicki, as you know, I listen to my clients, I ask questions, often give feedback, ask them more questions, and then give tips. So as I hear this question, I think, okay, I have 5 tips for this person today, and I'd love to share them with you.
Okay, that sounds great.
Okay. The first step I encourage everyone to take is define the dream. My dream is. And because that is a very complex question, as you know, because you just read it, I encourage you to reread that question and then make a dream statement. My dream is. And then along with that dream statement, statement, start to think of a playful way to look at it. It's like, okay, I'm going to need and want to make some shifts. And I personally wrote down a shift that I'd want to make, and it would be from a person who does talks for free to a person who charges $5,000 per talk.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be just a really empowering first step to take.
Right.
And then the second step would be to ask yourself, what kind of experts do I need and want to hire? And then third would be research. Begin that research to see what the experts are advising. I'm a strong believer in going to somebody who knows some of the answers to what I'm questioning, and I believe in experts. I know they've studied and practiced what they do. If I have a leak, I call a plumber, that kind of thing.
Right, right.
So, and then the fourth would be talk to other actualized dreamers, tell them and ask them, this is what I want to know. What do you think? And then, of course, the important component, listen.
By actualized dreamers, you mean go to people who are already doing what you want to do, who are already in the same position you want to be in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And there's so much with the Internet now, and since we started talking about computers, there's so much on the Internet. You can find out so much without actually, making a meeting with somebody. Prior to having a meeting with somebody. So I just encourage, advise, applaud people who are willing to be, I don't know this. Would you help me learn it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, that's a very important step to be as a dreamer, as a visionary, as a person.
And people are very, I've always found them very forthcoming.
Oh, absolutely. I think we get into our limiting self and, doubt. And it's like, no, you can't be. You can't doubt. If this is what you want to do, this is what you want to do. So it's like follow that passion.
Mm-hmm.
And then fifth would be to start her dream plan.
Okay. Let's hold it there. We're going to take a quick break, Joyce. When we come back, I'd like to look more about, what goes into making a dream plan.
Okay.
We're talking with dream coach Joyce Chapman, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Do you love wildlife? Then make a real difference by helping PAWS care for sick and injured wild animals. Volunteers help feed and clean the animals until they are well enough to return to the wild. Sign up today and help save a wild life. No experience necessary. All training is provided. Visit PAWS.org or call 425-787-2500.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick & Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to help you live well, live strong.
Spread the word. Your favorite shows are on Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
And welcome back. Welcome back. I'm talking in this segment with dream coach Joyce Chapman, and she is answering your questions today. The first one was from somebody who wished to remain anonymous, understandably so. She's an author. She's a speaker. She's a radio host, and she works in a very specialized field, and she wants to get yes, Eric, you're looking at me.
I was just saying, this isn't you, is it?
It's not me.
The description sounds like you.
No, Eric, it's me.
It's Joyce.
It's somebody who wishes to remain anonymous.
But we can relate to it.
And I respect that. I work in a whole different field, so it's it's totally different. I don't work in that field at all. But I've lost my train of thought now.
Sorry
it's
about
one
that.
Of those Mondays. But she is, she's been working a lot for free when she's been speaking. I'm sure she's selling her books and everything, but she's been working a lot for free when she's speaking, and she wants to take her business to the next level so that it sustains not just her soul and heart, but also feeds her retirement. So, and Joyce, just you ran through four of the five tips that you wanted to share with her, and the fifth was make a dream plan and get started. So let's look at how we make a dream plan. Where do we begin?
This might sound facetious, but I don't mean it. So you begin at the beginning. You know, here I am today. This is where I am. And she states very clearly where she is. So that's a wonderful beginning. And then, okay, what do I need to happen tomorrow? What's the next step? I call them dream steps. You know, there are really no just small dreams, middle-sized dreams, big dreams. They're all very, very important to realizing all of who we want to be. So it's like, okay, start that plan. You know, when you take a vacation, you usually decide on the destination. Mm-hmm. And when you take a trip, you might have to get out a roadmap. So it's not unlike that. It's like, okay, what is my roadmap going to look like on the way to this dream?
Okay, and for somebody who hasn't started writing, I mean, a lot of people don't like journaling. We've kind of touched on that before. But these can be pictures. I remember, several years ago when I wanted to get into a certain company, I wanted to consult with this company. I drew out, I storyboard a lot because, you know, that's the kind of field I work in. So I drew out a storyboard of me where I was now and where I was going to be in 6 months. And those pictures to me, I'm not an artist, I drew stick figures, but those pictures to me just represented what I wanted to, how I wanted to get there. And so I had a visual in my head of where I would be in 6 months. What other kind of tips do you give to people who don't like writing, maybe?
Well, you know, that's a wonderful, wonderful question because a lot of people don't like writing and they resist it and they go, I don't write.
Right.
which always makes me laugh, just like I just did. It's like, okay, then let's think of some other ways. And one, I love suggesting to make a dream board, which is not unlike what you just described, Vicki.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the way I do it is just cut out pictures out of magazines and newspapers and words that are what I want now. You know, it's like, okay, this is what I want. If I want to travel the world, I put travel the world. You know, if I want to make, you know, a six-figure income a year from my speaking, then I put that on my dream board. And then every time I look at all of these reminders, I'm inspired to put that on my schedule. It isn't magically going to happen.
Right, right.
And I know you know that about me. I know that a person has to do the work.
Right.
So the dream plan keeps you centered. Like, oh, okay, I said I wanted this, so therefore I have to do this.
Yeah, there's something about very powerful about them, because even if you don't really look at it, but subconsciously you can see it at the side of your eye,
uh-huh.
it does kind of keep prodding your mind. Anything else to add on that one from you?
The clarity that's needed.
Yeah.
This is the direction that I want to go in.
Right.
And the claiming of it.
Huge thing.
Instead of just talking about it.
Right.
Everybody that knows me knows what my dreams are, because I walk, you know, for want of a better phrase, walk my talk.
Right, right.
And, you know, if you want to write a book, I'm privileged to have people come into my life and say, you know, I don't write a book. And I go, okay, what's our plan?
Right.
And I have to turn it back to the person because I can't create that plan.
Right. But you're there, you're somebody there cheering in the corner. So from a business perspective, a couple of things that I just wanted to add before we move on to the next question. You know, defining your target audience, I think, is really important.
Oh.
And she may already be preaching to the choir because she is in a very specialized field. And if she's going to places where people are already into this kind of subject, as she mentioned, the sacred feminine, you know, metaphysical work, then she may already be preaching to the choir. And maybe she needs to expand that audience. And you had mentioned maybe, you know, hook up with some professionals who can maybe help you expand that market. And I feel very strongly about this. So I just want to put that out there. When somebody asks you to speak, assume they are going to pay you. Ask them what they had in mind. Ask them what their budget is before you make any kind of commitment. And there's going to be David, my assistant, is going to put this on the website later on today. There's a show that we did with Linda Babcock. It's called Power Negotiations for Women Who Don't Like to Ask. So that podcast will be on the show on the conversationslive.net webpage later on this afternoon. And Linda's one of the best people at talking about power negotiating for women. So, and the other thing I wanted to add was maybe join a speakers bureau while you're building your dream plan and going through some of the suggestions that Joyce offered there. There are lots of speakers bureaus around, so be careful which one you hook up with. You don't want to have huge fees there, but you want somebody who's going to get you huge fees. So, anyway, I also hope you listen to the first segment of today's show on value proposition with Kevin Dahm, because everybody, as I said earlier, if they're a one-man shop or they have a 40,000-person company, needs to know their value proposition. And that all ties in with everything you've said, Joyce.
It does.
Yeah. So we have to take a wee quick break, and we'll be right back, and we're going to answer another listener question with Dream Coach Joyce Chapman. Please stay with us. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
If you missed a show on Conversations Live, check out conversationslive.net for dozens of free podcasts. Topics range from health and healing to business and career growth, from personal development to creativity, adventure, and the challenges of the human spirit. See conversationslive.net for talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Conversationslive.net, making a difference one word at a time.
G'day, my name is Dr. Brett Bolton. I'm your host along with Eric Ryder every Tuesday afternoon on Half Hour to Health. Join us and our guests every Tuesday at 3 p.m. as we explore health and wellness. In less than 30 minutes, you'll come away with the answers you need to reprogram your health. Information that will empower you to live well, move well, and age well. That's Half Hour to Health every Tuesday at 3 p.m. with me, your host, Dr. Brett Bolton.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Talk radio to brighten your day.
Good news, Belgium. We're streamed worldwide at 1150kknw.com. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And in this segment, we're working with Dream Coach Joyce Chapman and answering your questions. And I have several questions here, Joyce, and I know we're not going to get them all in the time. So I wonder if I can just combine a couple of them because they're kind of similar. Somebody was laid off after 17 years. She's been laid off for almost 2 years and can't find work that's comparable with what she wanted to do. So she started her own business. However, she has a lot of anxiety around it, even though it's doing well right now. She has a lot of anxiety. Her head is playing mind games with her, she says. How do I learn how to cope with the anxiety of getting to where I want? So that's a lot of negative talk there in her head that's getting in her way. And another one, she's an artist. She actually spent college in Paris. She's an award-winning artist who hasn't picked up a brush or stood at her easel in 12 months or more. Not doing what I most love to do, slowly killing me. There aren't enough hours in the day. My husband is not supportive. And in caps, she wrote, I am an artist. I need to paint. How do others find the time to pursue their dream? How do others deal with spouses who do not support them? So how do we get rid of the voices in our head? How do we deal with people who don't support us? And how do we make sure we get enough time in our day?
So you're asking me to get out my magic wand, right? you know, it comes down to some of the things that we talked about in the first part of the show, Vicki. It comes back to focus. You know, if this is what I want, then how am I going to get there? If there is no magical formula, it's going to take whatever it takes to get you there. And a big part of it is scheduling. I would guess that you totally know what I'm talking about.
Right, right.
You know, if you say, this is what I want, then I find time to paint. If this is what I want to have my business be as successful as I could possibly make it, then this is what my focus is. Focus, focus, focus.
Yeah. But I can relate to both of these questions, really, because I know, you know, I work with several different clients and I do the radio show and I work on independent production projects and TV projects and other segments. So I find if something is important to me and it's not necessarily, you know, nobody else cares if I write my book right now, for example.
Oh, wait, I do.
Because I am in the process of writing a book, and I actually started it a while ago and did not even touch it last year. But if it's important to me, and I say it's important to me, I mean, I have to get up early and make sure that's done before anything, before I start my day, because I know once I get busy with clients and phone calls and emails, you know, my in quote time has gone.
Well, I think for me, it's just so exciting to be living the life you want to be living and not resisting what is in the reality. I'm a really good example of that because I have had four children, a family, lots of responsibilities, taught full time, did a lot of innovative programs in the educational system. And yeah, my days were long, but I felt good about my days being long. So I didn't resist. You know, I said, focus, focus, focus. You know, what you resist will persist. So it's like, get the clarity that is needed and then go in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And when something, you know, is this vital to realizing my dream is a question that I ask myself. You know, is this what I really want to do? And, of course, that wonderful question, if today was my last day on Earth, what would I choose to do? I'd choose to be on this radio show. Because this is part of living my dream.
So let's just, we've only got 1 minute here, but very quickly, I'd like to go back to Moira's question. Her husband is not supportive. She's the artist. Her husband is not supportive at all, thinks she's wasting her time if she's painting. But she's obviously good because she's won awards. She went to college in Paris. How does she deal with a situation like that in 30 seconds?
My first, and you know I'm playful, Vicky, my first is, well, go to an expert. Get a counselor that, you know, that can assist you to understand what's going on there. And there is a theory which I embrace, which is, you know, what the people that surround you are inviting you to look at something. So, you know, my own doubts, and I'll just use myself as an example. If I doubt myself, I might draw people in that doubt me so I can see whether that's really what I want to do.
Interesting.
And I find that that's very true. I've lived what this person is talking about. So it's like, well, I have to do this. You know, this is what I have to do. And I wish you could support me. I wish you could empower. I like that word, empower, because can you empower me in doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I going to allow you to stop me?
Right.
And I think that's the question, in a sense, that I hear she may be asking.
Right.
And that's a big question. And, you know, she may need some extra support.
Yeah,
and
see, I told...
trying to figure that out.
I told our listeners, you hear what's not said. And that's true. Yeah, that's very true.
Oh, you're so smart.
Well, we are at the end of this segment today, Joyce. What would you like to leave our listeners with?
Oh, I have a wonderful thought, and that was decide what you want to do, be, and have, and then get busy and make it happen.
I like it. Get busy and make it happen.
All right. Make it happen.
And your website is? Tell us your website.
Just my name, JoyceChapman.com.
JoyceChapman.com.
And I welcome questions and emails and interaction on my blog. So if people would like to get to know more about what I think, I would love to have them contact me.
Great. And you also have a newsletter, a very short Practice the Art of Noticing newsletter that comes out. And I've actually been reading that, and it does make me sit up and pay attention to paying attention.
Yeah. The notice is a very powerful concept. It came through the Live Your Dream workshop. I realized people needed to be observers. You know, step back.
Right.
And watch yourself.
Right. Well, we have to go, Joyce. Thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you for answering listeners' questions today. And we look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you.
And again, you can find more about Joyce at joycechapman.com. And I want to thank you for being with us today. If you've got questions or feedback on today's show or on any of our shows, you can always reach me at 800-495-7617, 800-495-7617, or send me an email at info@conversationslive.net. We'll be back next week. Until then, live well, live strong.